Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
And blessings from Laramie. And we welcome you to the program. And I know we've got a couple calls. I'll keep an eye out for them and let you know when they come on. And we'll be standing by.
All right. All right, sure, appreciate it, sir. Excuse me. We welcome everybody to join us this Wednesday evening for Hope is Alive. And what is it? Maybe you haven't tuned in before, or you heard the start of the program, and you wonder, evil spirits, demons, what are these people talking about? What we're talking about is everyday Christians practicing everyday Christianity, casting out evil spirits, for those that have, for those people have been oppressed by them. And how is that done? It is done by believers. You know, Pastor, I just pinch myself every time I hear that. I kind of got to pinch myself here that intro when he reads those scriptures of those things that Christians will do. Believers in Christ cast out demons, heal the sick, lay on hands on the sick, heal them. Drink deadly poison, shall not harm them, speak in new tongues. And that's you and me. That can be anyone who believes in Jesus. Now, if you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. That's an excellent website set up there that just has just about everything that we speak about each week on this show, prayers, the problem list, the deliverance prayer. We've got training on there. We've got testimonies. If it's mentioned on here, more than likely it's on that website. Or if you'd like to have a book, because you'd rather do it the old school way, the old fashioned way, maybe some might call it, but there is an excellent book out there written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. He's got nearly 40 years worth of experience laid down in it, step-by-step process of how to perform deliverance on others or even yourself. And you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. Well, Pastor, we have typical spring weather here in the Ozarks. Warm day, followed in by a cold front, which sprung in tornadoes all over the regions, but I'm happy to say that there was a tornado in my county. We're in the southern part and the northern part. I praise the Lord. Well, I wasn't home, but my wife, I told her to keep watch out there, and I'd pray to exercise authority on the storms. And she sent me pictures from my front porch, and it was clear skies.
Amen. Well, we've been given power over all the enemy, and certainly tornadoes can be the enemy. So what do we do about it? We take authority. We use the power by speaking in Jesus' name. I remember many cases down here in Oklahoma where that very thing has happened. Even my wife at one point saw a funnel coming toward us when we lived in Yukon, Oklahoma, some years ago, and she took authority and it turned. Another friend down in Midwest City, just southeast Oklahoma City area, a huge tornado, a level 5, that came through Moore, Oklahoma, and all. It's coming toward him in Midwest City, and he took authority. He was one of our originators at Deliverance Ministries, knew how to do it, and it turned. So if we just use the power we've been given, amazing things happen.
That's right. Yeah, because Jesus did say, greater things than these you shall do also. And he was talking to those that believe in him, those that follow him, those that are called according to his purpose. That is you, that's me, that's the listeners out there. And, you know, we should be doing these things. But that's why we come on here, those testimonies that come on here, is to encourage you, to let you know that, hey, it can be done. And it's still done today. All the stuff didn't die out with the apostles. It's still there for you and me to exercise and practice.
Amen.
Pastor, why don't you give us an update on this Monday night?
It was a fantastic night. We did 20 exorcisms, had 15 awesome ministers there, so one person did a group of 5. I had a fantastic case a man that I got the head demon up. It talked out of his mouth. And it, when I commanded to know how many demons were under its authority, it said legion. Every now and then we run into the legion. And with the torment he'd been having, I can say it very well could have been there were a legion. But, yeah, the eyes rolled back in his head as I got the head demon up. And it just went so well. Got him delivered. His back was healed. That was just totally amazing to him. He just kept squatting and twisting after his back was healed, and we prayed over that at the end of the session. So it just goes to show, if we will continue to use this power, John 14:12, where Jesus told us as believers to do his same works in his name, that we can actually speak directly and command things to happen, just as Jesus did. You were talking about pinching yourself. Well, I have to pinch myself on that one pretty often. Too little me. But over these 43 years I've been doing this now, I keep seeing it work. And it's while people get healed by praying to the Father in Jesus' name, that certainly can work and does. But there's a more direct way and an instant way while we watch right in front of our eyes these things happen. So I'm still on a high from Monday night. I haven't talked to the man yet, but as I often say, there's no way he would not be better.
That's right. That's right. You know, I've been studying this past week the book of Acts, and it just encourages me reading it, because I know that those things that Peter was a man just like you and me. Paul was a man just like you and me. All these apostles were men just like all of us here. And they obviously understood what the Great Commission meant. And they practiced it and exercised it. I mean, with Peter, his shadow would fall on people and they would be healed.
Yeah.
And that's just, And that right there would be an example of greater works than these you shall do also. And, it's absolutely Well, I wouldn't say it's mind blowing. It just seems like, wow, that could be me too.
Amen. I was going to say, Ralph, that's another reason to pinch yourself, that we are supposed to be doing even greater works than Jesus. I'm pretty excited just doing the works of Jesus, but Jesus told us we would do greater works even. So, praise God. How exciting is that? You know, there's a lot of churches that seem to skip over Acts. They're real active in the other parts of the Bible, but they have doctrines that suggest that all that passed away, and it was nice to read about it, but it isn't for real today. And, of course, as you just mentioned, we see Acts happen constantly in the ministries that we're doing today.
Yes, and it's actually one of my favorite books to read because it reads just like a novel. But, you know, we know it's true. We know these things happen. and it's just an encouragement because as we can read these things, we can gain confidence that we, too, can do those things. And I know there's a scripture in there where it talks about, I believe it's Peter that's preaching, and he sees, it's either Peter or Paul, a lot of their acts, a lot of their works, I get confused on which one did which. But he looks over, and he sees the man, and he says, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. And that's a big part of it, too. There has to be that certain want for it. There has to be that certain belief. There has to be that certain works on the part that wants to be delivered. And, you know, I always hear for years, how come the faith healers don't go to the hospitals? Well, sometimes there are some that do. But generally, when somebody is needing deliverance, is needing a healing, is needing something from the Lord, they will make an attempt to go out and find it. And really, I cannot see anywhere not anywhere. There's a few examples in Scripture, but for the most part, any time that Jesus healed and any time the apostles did their works, they were doing it with people who were searching, wanting, and eager to receive it.
That is exactly right, and we see that constantly. Of course, the ones that come through a deliverance ministry in Oklahoma City on Monday nights, the fact that they brought themselves, they're reaching out. And occasionally we'll have someone bring someone. They want them delivered, but the person isn't ready. They're not ready to change their lifestyle, et cetera. And yet we'll wind up putting them with a minister. Well, it doesn't work. And even when I'm praying with someone and they've got a healing need, I often say to them, would you like Jesus to heal you tonight of this problem? And, you know, again, and when they say yes, of course, they're reaching out. There is a major factor in that, Ralph.
There is. And even, you know, I don't even see where examples other than the fact that when Jesus cast out that spirit of that man in the tombs that had the actual legion in him, I don't see any instance in there where Jesus healed or cast out a spirit or did anything where there wasn't some act where somebody was looking for it or somebody in authority. Maybe it was their parent or even a situation where the men wanted their servants healed, that they were searching for it. Even when you talk about the man who couldn't get down to the pool, that was the full Siloam that was being stirred up by the angel for healing, he wanted to go down there, and even Jesus kind of looked at him and said, why don't you go down there? I mean, Jesus knew he couldn't walk, but he was seeing it. You know, I believe he was sitting there to see if he had the faith and was actually wanting it, and he said, well, there's no one to put me down in there. And as Jesus was talking to him, he could see that he had the faith to be healed, and he healed him.
Amen. And the woman with the issue of blood, of course, very clean cut, that she reached out and pushed her way to the front of the crowd to get to Jesus, and of course she wound up being healed.
And that was no small crowd. I remember when you read it, says Jesus perceived that power was had left from him. He said, who's touching me? And the apostles are like, well, what are you talking about? There's people everywhere. What do you mean you touched
that? That was even a deliverance, in fact. because Jesus cast out a spirit of infirmity in Luke 13.
Yes.
Amen. Well, yes. Guys,
and
your caller.
Do we have a caller?
Yeah, excuse me, Ralph. Macy is on. So.
Hello.
All right. Thanks for joining us tonight,
hi.
Macy.
Thank you.
Yes, hi, Macy. Macy, I'm so glad you called in. Macy, why don't you go ahead and give some background, history on yourself, when you were born again, what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and so forth. Go right ahead.
Okay. Okay, well, my age now is 47. I am a mother and a nurse, a single mom. I was saved as a small child. I don't remember an age exactly, but I was introduced with deliverance. It's probably been, I've gone through two divorces, and it was after my first divorce. I was dealing with a lot of anger, rejection, you know, just a lot of different things. And I just introduced, you know, the devil into my life like that because I got mad at God. And I just remember cursing God. And this was years ago, probably about 7 years ago. And when I did that, I actually also was, in my anger, also, you know, just started speaking to the devil and not realizing, you know, the importance of that or the reality of that. And I started having, you know, supernatural things happening to my body. You know, I was being choked. I was jerking and twitching and, you know, being thrown around in my home. And then in that time, because I had been saved as a small girl, I'd been in church, and I had been introduced when I was younger to a pastor that had done deliverance, and it was really weird because I hadn't seen him in years, but his name came to my mind. And I got a hold of him, and because I was dealing with all these different feelings and my mind was being tormented, it took me 7 days, because one of the things that he told me is that I needed to have someone in my home, someone there that I trusted. For some reason, I'm not sure. He's since has passed away. And so it took me 7 days before I could, in my mind, come up with someone that I trusted. And mind you, I have a family, a very God-fearing family that would have done it in a heartbeat. But I, again, was being tormented in my mind. I didn't feel like I could trust them. And anyway, 7 days went past, and I was dealing with all these movements in my body and, you know, being thrown around. I had an elderly lady from my church come, and she was praying for me, and I was sleeping with my Bible. And then on that seventh day, he came, and we sat down for about 4 hours and went through a deliverance. And immediately after, you know, the end of the deliverance, I stopped all of that. Throughout the deliverance time, this part I don't remember, but I would start growling at him, and I would start cursing at the preacher, and I don't remember any of that. And then at the end, after it was over with, I was back to my regular self again.
Praise God.
Yes. And then just previously, about, what was it, Everett, about 4 weeks ago, I guess, some friends and I went up to Oklahoma City. We'd heard about this deliverance. Since that time, I work with a nurse that also is, you know, knows about deliverance, and it's on her heart to, you know, help people and just to dive in to learn more about it. And we've since have gone to Arkansas and we've gone to Texas just to some conferences, just to learn more about, you know, these different things that we go through that, you know, no one, we weren't taught this, you know, I didn't, it's not anything that, you know, I wasn't brought up like this in a church that to know about these things and to keep your heart, you know, clear of like, and to keep, just a lot of it's about forgiveness, you know, and, so about 4 weeks ago, again, she and I and then two other friends of ours went up to Everett Cox's church and went through the deliverance there, and it was absolutely amazing. Since I went through that 7 years ago, I tried to keep my life pretty cleaned up. Of course, you know, I'm not perfect. Things happen. And so, but just, I mean, I can't explain it. It was a supernatural feeling again, but I felt the power of the Holy Spirit with the two ladies that I went through the deliverance with in Oklahoma City. And, you know, it's just, it's a high, a glowing. I can't explain, you know, really what that one was went through. They're all, it's all different, but that one was definitely a peaceful. You know, you always leave out of there just feeling more cleaned up than before, and I don't know. It definitely led me to a different place in my life.
Maisie?
Yes.
Maisie, when you went through the deliverance, did you feel those demon spirits coming out, or what went on?
When I did the one 7 years ago, or the one just here 4 weeks ago?
No, 4 weeks ago.
I didn't really feel anything then that much, Everett. But what I went through 7 years ago was pretty traumatic. I won't say that I live a perfect life or anything like that, but I've learned so much since then and previous, you know, times that I tried to keep myself pretty cleaned up. I mean, I'm in my Bible daily. I, you know, watch who I'm around. It's just something that I try to keep a close. I didn't really feel any really demons come out. I just, like this time, I felt a supernatural power. I can't explain it. I have a hurt finger, and when the ladies were praying for me, I just felt like my whole body was being lifted up and in a glow. You know, I
praise God. And you know, another thing, Maisie, because of the door closing prayer that our ministry does, typically it's more low key. We do have sometimes some outcries, but we may go many months where it's just an easy one-on-one. People feel them come out a lot of times. They'll yawn, cough, or burp, something like that, and the spirit comes out.
Oh, yeah,
out.
No, I did go through that. Yes, I did. I had some yawning, I believe, is what I went through with Linda and Nancy, the two ladies that worked through my deliverance. but I've seen people actually, you know, vomit or gag, and I haven't had anything like that happen to me. But I did have a couple of yawns. Yes, I did. I did.
Mm-hmm. Pretty common. That's because of the door closing prayer, that 15-16 minute repeat after me prayer that breaks curses and repenting of all kinds of things. Overall, it pulls the rug out from under the demons, where they don't fight so much. They're easier to deal with, and it's more low key. And also, we go home earlier.
Right. Well, I assumed, because all the friends that I've gone with have had more, you know, have had a, I don't even know the words to explain it, have been able to tell more of the spirits leaving than I did. But I honestly believe, Everett, it was because 7 years ago when my my pastor did such a deep cleansing of everything. I mean, we went through the whole, I mean, it was a long 4 hours of cleansing that I just feel like there, all the stuff that I had dealt with as a child, because I had been, you know, molested as a child. I had a very traumatic childhood. And so I feel like when he cleaned me up from the obvious things that I was dealing with, just as the growling and the twitching, and then the, you know, something literally picking me up and throwing me and choking me, I feel like the ones that were in there from my childhood, or the things that had happened to me throughout my life, I'm assuming those came out then, you know, because I definitely had led a very, it wasn't a perfect, you know, life by any means. I had a very traumatic childhood, and so I just assumed that that's when those came out, whenever he did that deep,
amazing
4 hour.
Praise God for your pastor, because as you probably know, most pastors don't have the slightest idea about what to do in this type of ministry. So you were so blessed to have him.
Yeah, it's crazy. He was an old Nazarene preacher, and at one time was asked to not preach anymore at that church, but then had since, through the years, God straightened all that out, and he was able to come back, you know, there also to teach. And his name was Pastor Tate. He was a very dear friend of mine. We became very close after all of that. You know, it's just something you don't, you know, I've been brought up Baptist since then. And so, and even I had a friend speak to one of my the pastor there at the church that I was going to at the time. And, you know, they said they don't believe in that. So I've not really talked about it to anyone except for my friend Anita, and then a very few choice friends, because people aren't used to it, and they look at it, you, like it's your fault, you know.
Yeah. I always say to people, when they say you don't believe in casting out demons, well, do you want to leave the demons in them? And, you know,
yes.
And of course, ask the person that was set free what they believe. Like yourself.
Yes, exactly.
You sure know
exactly.
Well, you were blessed. Was that out in your area there in western Oklahoma?
Do what, sir?
Did that first deliverance take place out in your area?
Yeah, it
Western
actually
Oklahoma.
Happened. Yeah, it did. It happened in the town that I lived in at the time, in Weatherford, Oklahoma. And but then again, my pastor drove 45 minutes just to get there. You don't find anyone that, you know, really even talks about it. And what was so, I felt was such an amazing miracle, is the fact that I wasn't in a place where, because I had felt like everybody was against me. When I went through my divorce, because it wasn't really accepted in my family, I went through a very lonely period, a very isolated period. And God put his name in my mind. I hadn't heard of him in years. I haven't seen him in years. But God put his name into my mind. And that in itself,
wow.
I felt, it was a miracle that I even thought of him, because we hadn't seen each other in, I'm sure it had been over 15 years.
You know, when people are praying to God, Jesus, help me, he does that kind of thing. We've had people call Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City. I remember one case, a lady said, the Lord gave me this number.
Yes. Well, and also, you know, because my Baptist friends, you know, I once again, when I was going through this time, I didn't feel like I could trust all them. I mean, I was being lied to by the devil. In my mind, I was accepting all of this. And I had, you know, these friends coming over, bringing me food, and this little old lady bringing me food, and, you know, and I kept asking her, why are you doing this? Why are you being so nice to me? You know, I couldn't understand why she was doing this. And that's what Chris, but my mind, you know, couldn't understand how they were accepting this. And another man friend of mine was actually praying with me, taking me through the being saved prayer, you know, just asking God into my heart. It's not that I didn't have him in my heart. I was saved. And that's what, you know, they didn't understand at that time either. But since then, you know, we've all had a better understanding of deliverance. But at that time, you know, we thought maybe I'd gotten involved. You know, I wasn't saved. We didn't understand what was going on. What is going on? Why am I doing this? Why am I growling? Why am I twitching? Why is something throwing me around? You know, I would yell out, help me. It was a very traumatic, you know, ordeal.
Yes, I'll say. Well, that's a doctrine. There's in 1 Timothy 4, there's a passage that talks about the doctrines of demons. And one of those doctrines would be that Christians cannot be bothered by evil spirits. And, of course, when people say that, they also do not think about or talk about how we actually have three parts to us. Even the secular world recognizes that. And, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 points out we have three parts, our spirit, our body, and our soul area, the mind, will, emotions. And, of course, where the evil spirits hang out is in the body, including spirits of sickness, and then tormenting the soul area, mind, will, emotions. Our spirit man is totally secure as a born-again Christian. You were going to heaven before. You said you were born again before. But people would try to take you through salvation, figuring she must not be born again.
About it is, Everett, that has puzzled my mind, and that has, you know, just gotten me to thinking, is that I'm just a girl that, you know, I unfortunately went through a divorce. I've actually had two divorces, you know, and my anger at God took me to the place of talking to the devil. And, you know, I was raised in the church, you know, so how many other people have come to that and have gotten that mad at God before? I mean, I know I can't be alone.
Yes.
And that's what brought me, you know, just the, not curiosity, but, you know, because I'm a nurse too, there's something in me that wants to help people. And I know that there has to be some, you know, other people that have gone through this same thing and don't know what they're dealing with.
Yes. And, of course, anger and unforgiveness toward God, bitterness or hate is a door for demons itself. Well, we've got about a minute left, Maisie. What would you say to the people before we wind up here?
I would say it's real, and don't question it. To, if you're going through anything, and we all are, you know, to give deliverance a try. It does nothing but better you. God is the great counselor, and he is the great orchestrator. Just to, if you want a better life, try deliverance. You can't go wrong.
Praise God. Maisie, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. That was an awesome testimony. That had to encourage others out there, many of whom are having the same things happening to them. Well, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you for coming on. Excellent, excellent testimony. Now, that's not a common thing. We have heard it in the past, other people, about being thrown around. But that's definitely someone that was needing it, and we praise God they got it. Well, Pastor, we have Anita. Anita, thank you for calling.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, Anita. So glad you called in. Ralph is on here with me up in the Branson area. Why don't you go ahead, Anita, and give some history or background on yourself and when you were born again, what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like, changes you've seen, and so forth. So go right ahead.
Sure, I would love to. Thanks for having me on this evening. I was first saved 8 years old at a Bible camp. I can't remember when. It's been so long ago. I was adopted as a child at birth, maybe a couple of months old, placed in a home with very God faithful parents, great raising, great childhood. So we skip, you know, years down the road. I get married. My first child is born. She's about a year old, and my husband gets saved, accepted Christ into his life, and I rededicated my life. And from I just have had this calling on my life, feeling like God has had his hand in orchestrating so much of my journey. So to share a little bit of background in that, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm also a nurse. Macy, who called in just prior to me, we work together, we're good friends. I was kind of in a place in my life 4 or 5 years ago that was, home was chaotic, a lot of things out of control, very stressful. On the other end of that candle, I was very stressed out at work. A lot of things, you know, it's chaotic when you work in the ER. That's where I work. And very stressful. And I was just questioning so many things in my life at that time. And I was driving home. I have about an hour commute to and from work. And that's my time to pray and be alone with God, and I was asking the questions, you know, why are we continuing at home to go around the barn with all these issues, all these things in our life? We can't resolve anything, and it's the same thing at work. We keep seeing the same people, mental health issues, drug addictions, abuse. These people can't be helped, and so many things are mirroring, and I can't understand what's going on. And the Holy Spirit just revealed to me and spoke very loud, very clear, and said, Anita, I created medicine. I created this in all its rights, and it is good. And I lifted up these men and women that have become physicians, that are in healthcare, you are in healthcare, but there's also this other side that is deliverance and healing. And I thought, wow, okay, I've heard this before. And I just, it was just something in me that I just felt this burning desire. I have to learn about it. I have to dive in it. I have to do what I need to do. And I just let Father have his way. And I've always been the personality. I'm not going to ever advise anybody, counsel anybody, anything like that without me doing it myself. And that's what he wanted me to do. And I did not know at the time, and mind you, this is, you know, started 4 or 5 years ago, that there was even a deliverance ministry in Oklahoma that Brother Cox had no idea. And so it took me on a trail of going to Texas and Arkansas and Arizona and learning all I could to get myself free, to learn and train to also help others, not knowing at the time that he was putting me on a platform where I'm at work. And two of the main demons, spirits, whatever you want to call them, that were pivotal in where I am today was the rejection demon and unforgiveness. And being adopted, that demon came in when I was in the womb because it was nothing that I did. I had to understand that because when this was first presented to me, I thought, I do not have rejection. Nobody's rejected me. But you have to follow the tree down to the root. And that's what I had to do. And you know, deliverance is a lot like an onion. Some people are going to be peeled back a little bit at a time, amen? And then some are going to get it, big deliverances all at once. And God knew, he knows what he's doing. These things needed to come off of me so that he could fill me up more of his Holy Spirit to get the other things off of me later. And so that rejection demon came in when my mother got pregnant with me. My dad abandoned her and me by not stepping up and taking the responsibility. And then she, in turn, abandoned me by giving me up at birth. And so I had to realize, okay, this is probably why I am the way that I am. I push people away before I give them the chance. I just had a lot of these issues in my life. And when I went through that deliverance, it was like I came out of a fog. And it was so penetrating that I had no idea that this was on me. And when Macy called and said, you know, I know we've been everywhere and, you know, this is a calling on our group. Let's go to Oklahoma City. And I said, okay, let's go. And so we reached out, and whether we had schedules that just happened, we finally went up there about a month ago. And I met with a deliverance worker. Her name was Cindy, very highly anointed woman of God. I was absolutely amazed at how the Holy Spirit really, you can have as much of God as you want. You can have as much of deliverance as you want, but you've got to be willing. You've got to be that vessel that God's going to allow, okay, we're going to do this. And when I met her, it was like we've known each other for 30 years. And she was a nurse, had a background, and she immediately knew. She said, this has not been your first rodeo in deliverance. And she said, you know, what's going on? And as I kind of started explaining, she, you know, we both were being revealed that it's fear that was holding me back. And these demons are very keen. They're very smart. You know, I thought, well, I've dealt with that with rejection, but there was still another layer that needed to come off, and it was fear, because the calling on my life and wanting to do deliverance and learn about it and be able to equip and train others to walk in that too, I needed that off me because I wasn't stepping out where I needed to be in that, and a lot of things broke off, and then unforgiveness too, that I'd had a lot of hip pain for about a year and a half. And the doctors even told me, you know, you're looking at a total hip replacement because you just have no joint. And I had been through a lot of deliverance with unforgiveness, but Cindy said, yeah, but Anita, you need to be breaking soul ties because God does not want you hanging on to the relationship, past, present, or future, whatever it is. It's like unplugging a cord that has electricity to it. You've got to unplug it in your life. And she prayed for me, and we did a lot of soul, you know, breaking soul ties. And my hip, I'm delivered and healed. I do not have the pain that I have had since I walked away a month ago from Oklahoma City. And praise God, I give him all the glory.
Praise God. Praise God. So you found quite a physical healing as well then.
Yes, absolutely. And it will tend to kind of creep up some and try to show its face, and I just rebuke it and tell it to go away. And it's just faithful and speaking to your mountain that, no, you're not going to come and try to destroy my life again. It's been a journey that, you know, in the ER, the Holy Spirit really revealed to me that, you know, I'm kind of stepping out here on a limb, but in the place that I work, I would say 50 to 75% of the people that we see, we are not going to be able to treat them. Medicine is not going to be able to treat them. And the Holy Spirit, way back, told me, it's real, Anita. These people are coming in, and they do have physical complaints, but they're having physical manifestations of a spiritual problem. And these doctors are just, you know, a lot of them throwing medication at them, treating those physical symptoms, because medicine, and I'm not trying to discredit any doctor by any means or anything, but medicine doesn't take a holistic approach to a lot of things. They do have physical complaints, but they're having physical manifestations of a spiritual problem. And these doctors are just, you know, a lot of them throwing medication at them, treating those physical symptoms, because medicine, and I'm not trying to discredit any doctor by any means or anything, but medicine doesn't take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a problem. And these doctors are just, you know, a lot of them throwing medication at them, treating those physical symptoms, because medicine, and I'm not trying to discredit any doctor by any means or anything, but medicine doesn't take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a prescription. And these doctors are just, you know, a lot of them throwing medication at them, treating those physical symptoms, because medicine, and I'm not trying to discredit any doctor by any means or anything, but medicine doesn't take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a prescription.
Doors, we often call it. And so often, the most
patient at them, treating those physical symptoms, because medicine, and I'm not trying to discredit any doctor by any means or anything, but medicine doesn't take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a prescription.
Doors, we often call it. And so often, the most major of the doors we've seen is the unforgiveness door. Unforgiveness toward others, unforgiveness toward one's own self, and even unforgiveness toward God, where they're
saying that medicine doesn't take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a prescription.
Doors, we often call it. And so often, the most major of the doors we've seen is the unforgiveness door. Unforgiveness toward others, unforgiveness toward one's own self, and even unforgiveness toward God, where they're both.
Medicine doesn't take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a prescription.
Doors, we often call it. And so often, the most major of the doors we've seen is the unforgiveness door. Unforgiveness toward others, unforgiveness toward one's own self, and even unforgiveness toward God, where they're both.
That I had to forgive myself, take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a prescription.
Doors, we often call it. And so often, the most major of the doors we've seen is the unforgiveness door. Unforgiveness toward others, unforgiveness toward one's own self, and even unforgiveness toward God, where they're both.
That I had to forgive myself, take a holistic approach to a lot of things. And your prescriptions that the physician has given you, that God's now telling me, you give them a prescription.
Doors, we often call it. And so often, the most major of the doors we've seen is the unforgiveness door. Unforgiveness toward others, unforgiveness toward one's own self, and even unforgiveness toward God, where they're both.
That I had to forgive myself.
Praise God.
Oh, I just keep wanting more of him.
Well, that's the way we all are. And, of course, you'll always be learning more. There's always something more to learn. We have
right.
the basics of the gospel to apply to this. But every case that we minister to, every person, we all marvel about that among ourselves, how every person you minister to, it's different than the last one. But again, the power still goes forth to set the people free. Well, I'm
right.
hoping that some of you people out there will go through the training and learn. We have
right.
the basics of the gospel to apply to this, but every case that we minister to, every person, we all marvel about that among ourselves, how every person you minister to, it's different than the last one. But again, the power still goes forth to set the people free. Well, I'm
right.
hoping that some of you people out there will go through the training and, you know, really get an active group of doing it out there. Do you have any other cases to share or situations with your people out there before we wind up?
Nothing that's really coming to mind other than, you know, I know life gets tough for people, and, you know, it's not, some things can seem very easy on a scale looking at one person when we start comparing, and we shouldn't compare ourselves, but I'm saying sharing stories and our testimonies, and it's important, it's so wonderful that you have created this for people to be inspired by sharing their testimonies and their stories. The hope is that someone will grab a hold of this and be like, well, yeah, she did it, I can do it. And, you know, I feel like where I'm at in my job and my home, it's just getting better all the time. And if I can, you know, help one person, and I may have to talk to 100 or 200 people, it's all worth it. If it truly does help them and they dig into those roots and decide they want to, you know, clean their lives up and go through deliverance and healing, that's truly what he wants for us. He wants that. He doesn't want us held down in bondage and torment. He wants us free of that stuff. So, you know, if people can grab a hold of that at some point, but like I've heard you say, they, you know, they've got to want that too. They've got to want that desire.
Yes. And, you know, from a minister standpoint, Anita, there's such an amazing fulfillment that
what he wants for us. He wants that. He doesn't want us held down in bondage and torment. He wants us free of that stuff. So, you know, if people can grab a hold of that at some point, but like I've heard you say, they, you know, they've got to want that too. They've got to want that desire.
Yes. And, you know, from a minister standpoint, Anita, there's such an amazing fulfillment that we all have that God used little us to minister to someone.
He wants us free of that stuff. So, you know, if people can grab a hold of that at some point, but like I've heard you say, they, you know, they've got to want that too. They've got to want that desire.
Yes, and you know, from a minister standpoint, Anita, there's such an amazing fulfillment that we all have that God used little us to minister to someone. Bye-bye.
It just pays to forgive. And just remember, forgiving does not release the person as much as it releases you. But it can release that person. I'm convinced that Stephen had not forgiven those people stoned him, we would have never had the Apostle Paul. So, but if you have any of these issues that these ladies talked about, or having other issues, go to deliveranceusa.com or get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling the office, Richard, the office at 307-742-7582. Let me know you like that book, and he'll get it out to you. But we do thank everybody for taking the time out of their Wednesday evening joining us. We are grateful that we have this program. We're grateful for the ability to do this. And we just thank you for spending the evening with us. Pastor, as always, it's been a pleasure. See you next week, and God bless.
And God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.